Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bear.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day, and I will see that person face-to-face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well-supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
And talk about with your defense, what kind of disposition are you seeing from the defense, not just tonight, but throughout camp?
What Dennis has been preaching to those guys from day one, it's not what we call, it's how we play. And I think those guys have really, really bought into that mantra. There's an aggression with which we want to play, not just schematically, but I talk about it all the time. These corners are going to come up. They're going to press. They're going to be willing tacklers in space. Our linebackers are smart players that are communicating. They have good eye discipline. And then up front, these guys are striking blocks in the run game, and they're getting after the passer in the pass game. So when you see it all come together, the fundamentals, the technique, and then really the aggression is the word I like to use to describe it. It's a good thing.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk with Jason Leisure about what's going on with the Bears. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Jason, thank you very much for joining us. What's it been like up there over the last couple of days, considering that the Bears had moderate success with what they were doing offensively on Sunday?
I think that there has been a little bit of exhaling because, as you guys know, it's been a very up and down camp for Caleb Williams and the offense. And while they have maintained confidence throughout, everybody else needed to see some proof of concept here. And obviously, they didn't run anything interesting in a preseason game, and they're not going to. They're going to save all of that for the games that matter. But it was just good to see everything run well, even against backups. I mean, you can put all these stipulations on it, and you'd be right, but they can only do what's in front of them at this time. They can't make the playoffs today. They can play in a preseason game Sunday against the Bills backups. They can play in a preseason game this coming Friday against the Chiefs starters, and you can grade that as you go. I think that it has been a good upswing at the right time in camp overall for Caleb Williams. If you like what you saw Sunday in the game against the Bills, 2 days before that, he looked pretty sharp against the Bills in joint practice, too, and that was against their starters.
Jason, it has felt like we've now, as a media, kind of survived watching the onboarding of everything, and now it is going to be more dialed in with these are the things to try and get really good at. Is that perception right, or is there more onboarding that's still kind of ongoing with Ben teaching Caleb the totality of the offense and what he wants him to learn?
I think that the onboarding is basically complete, like you're saying, Matt. I think as far as giving Caleb Williams and the rest of the starting offense an overview of what they're going to do. But Ben Johnson made an interesting comment last week saying that he had, in advance of the joint practice against the Bills, he pulled up his game plan from playing the Bills as Lions offensive coordinator late last season. And he said he's looking through these plays and he's like, this, our team right now, the Bears, is not ready to run all of these plays. We're not at that stage yet. And then he compared that to game plans that he had in his first year as Lions offensive coordinator and was pretty amazed, I think, by how much progress that team had made over 3 years. From what they were doing year one to what they were doing year three, looked a lot better. So it's going to be like that. And Caleb and Ben both talk about this in terms of multi-year project. I think if you want to shrink it down and look just at this season, the basic onboarding is done, and now you're going to get more of a streamlined game plan for specific opponents.
That cut that you talked about, we talked about last week, it jumped out to both of us the same way on the Friday of him talking about the plays. So is that self-awareness from Ben that will mean a simplified approach in the early weeks here, perhaps, for what he asks his quarterback to do?
Simplified by Ben Johnson standards.
Yeah.
I think even a simplified Ben Johnson offense is going to impress you more than a Shane Waldron offense.
There's no doubt about that. You've covered football for a long time in a couple of different places. How remarkable is the Tyson Bagent story?
It is incredible. I mean, it just doesn't happen, really. There are guys that will make it as undrafted players and really establish themselves and get onto the second contract. It's just not usually happening at quarterback and from Division II. And he made, I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about the contract extension today. He made a comment that I thought was so smart and about this decision. And it was to the effect of, he has a better chance in the long run in his career to stay with the Bears as a backup and work with Ben Johnson than he does to go and try to get a starting job somewhere else next season, because he would have been a restricted free agent. He could have tested the market. But I think that so many guys will jump at the chance to either get the money or be the starter. And I get it. I totally get why they would. But I think the longer term play is to be somewhere where they are going to teach you well. Like Justin Fields, for example, this year going to the Jets. I just am not sure how well that's going to work out. And man, I mean, 2 years, $40 million, I think I would have said yes to if I was Justin Fields. But don't you think Justin Fields, for the long run for his career, would have been better off going and being the backup in somewhere like Minnesota or the Rams?
Yes.
Somewhere where he was going to be well taught.
100%. Like, I thought about the Rams for Tyson Bagent, too, because Stafford's back is clearly bothering him. And I don't know what they want to do on the season, if they want to punt and put themselves in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. Or I don't even know if they have enough draft picks to do that, considering that they gave them all away to win a Super Bowl, which most people would be okay with. But I kept thinking about that. And with Bagent, I loved what he was saying about kind of where he's come from. And the idea of, man, we were broke. You know, my dad didn't say my dad didn't have running water until he was in high school or something like that.
Yeah, and Tyson Bagent was still living at home until I think this year. Back in, and now he was making NFL money. He was making like $1 million a year. He's doing okay. $10 million over 2 years is a complete game changer, obviously, for him and for his family. He is such a, and this is the best compliment I think I can give a pro athlete or any kind of famous person. He is such a normal person. His reaction to getting $10 million, I think, is the same that yours or mine would be.
I mean, that's, it's amazing. And, you know, undrafted quarterbacks, you know, you think of Kurt Warner, but that's kind of an epic story. But like John Kitna carved out a long career and life for himself. Jake Delhomme, Dave Craig. Like, there's been some dudes. Very occasionally it can happen. I could see, especially with the mindset you're talking about, Jason, of accepting the backup role for a great coach and just learning. He could have a long-ass NFL career as a smart and trusted backup. And then those guys turn into coaches in the league if you want. It can, you can set yourself up for an entire life if you play your cards right.
I think Tyson Bagent has starter potential somewhere at some point. I think his chances of being a starter and being good and having some longevity there as a starter is in, all of that increases by sticking around and being well coached rather than jumping at the nearest opportunity to be the quarterback for the Browns or whoever.
Speaks, we love to talk about how old we are.
Yeah.
We're so old that John Kitna's son, Jalen Kitna, is finishing his college career now.
Yeah.
At quarterback at UAB.
Amazing. Amazing. So, you know,
my age catches up with me when I talk to the players and coaches, and you start to get now coaches and GMs who are younger than me. Like Ben Johnson is a couple of years younger than me. This is kind of the first, this is happening for me with coaches and executives. I think Ryan Poles is about my age, give or take. And I was talking yesterday, I had an interview with Kevin Byard, who is quote unquote the old guy, one of the old guys on the Bears roster.
He's 32.
He's 32 years old. He's nine years younger than me. And he, I was asking him about, you know, being 32, which is football old, and playing in a secondary where it's all guys in their mid-20s. And he was like, oh, man, now you're making me feel old. And I'm sitting there thinking, you are a kid compared to me.
Yeah, you've got no idea. I, Kevin Byard talking about Ben Johnson and the culture reset that he's doing and comparing him to Mike Vrabel doing the culture reset. The fact that he brought that up to you guys was very compelling. What did you get out of your Kevin Byard conversation that, that you liked?
Yesterday, I think what I got from it was, well, A, Kevin Byard is super interesting. We don't talk enough about Kevin Byard, and he's had such a good camp. He has been all over the place. He has never missed a game due to injury, and he had never missed a practice due to injury until last year when he got back spasms and couldn't get off the floor in the weight room because they were so intense. And I told him that's an old man injury because I would know. But in addition to that, when he's talking about the culture of the Bears, he's sitting there looking at last year and saying, and Kevin Byard, by the way, has almost always been on decent teams or better. A lot of 9-7s, but even some better ones. I mean, the Bears would kill for 9-7 right now, 9-8. And he said that they had such high expectations, and it was such a grueling, frustrating thing to go through, losing 10 in a row, and everyone's looking at each other like, why is this happening? Why can't we figure this out? This team is too good. There's too many good players here for this to keep happening. And he said, and this is a guy going into his 10th year in the league, that he would know. He said, sometimes a 12-5 roster goes 5-12. And it's all about the little things. And when he talked about the upcoming season, Matt, and the high expectations they have now, because it feels very similar to last year where everybody thought last year was going to go great. Right now, everybody thinks this year is going to go great. He said there's 15 or 20 other teams that also think it's going to go great for them. And it's really going to come down to, for us, for the Bears, he said, whether or not we learned the lessons from last year. And that means really more than anything, attention to detail and accountability and practice for getting things wrong.
Terrell Smith out for the year. Feel terrible for that kid who has been a really, really hard worker and had a shot to get some real good playing time this year.
He's been in the mix for a starting job ever since they drafted him in the fifth round out of Minnesota a couple of years ago. That same draft class where they drafted Tyreek Stevenson in the second round and Terrell Smith in the fifth. Terrell Smith was right there stride for stride with Stevenson that training camp. And he has been competing with him for that starting job last year and this year. That competition this year for the number two corner on the outside opposite Jalen Johnson was Tyreek Stevenson, Terrell Smith, and Nashawn Wright, who is a newcomer. I don't think there's a better example of something the Bears have fixed, that the Ryan Poles administration has fixed, than corner. I mean, that last year of Pace running the team, they had Jalen Johnson as a rookie or second-year player. Yeah, second-year player. And everything else was practice squad players, basically, at corner. Now they go into, they had last year and they have again this year, six starting level corners. Terrell Smith, if it hadn't worked out here, would have been a starter, and probably, I'm assuming he's going to recover from this and resume playing the way he has been, he'll be a starter somewhere else. Every coach I've ever talked to in the NFL, they always say, man, you can't have enough corners. We can never find enough corners. And I've covered all these teams where they're just constantly signing guys from other teams' practice squads, just trying to find an answer. The Bears actually last year and this year probably do have enough depth to where Josh Blackwell, Terrell Smith, now Nashawn Wright are all starting caliber players. And right now you don't expect to need that because Kyler Gordon was back at practice today. Jalen Johnson is expected to be ready for the opener. But you never know, man. It's a long season, and there could hit a point where they're really missing Terrell Smith.
Jason, as always, we appreciate the time. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Jason.
It's Jason Leisure. He covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He's nice enough to hang out with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're back live from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom in Las Vegas.
We are indeed back. Sorry about that. We lost the internet because, well, that's technology sometimes. This is Raheemian Harris on 670 The Score, and we just wrapped up talking about, unfortunately, we had some pretty good steam and momentum when it came to being excited about the Cubs' win last night. The most important part is not only did Marshall collect the dollars that we owed him, but other people gave him money as well. So you've got that going for you. In Vegas, we call that house money.
Robbie says he's going to fax me the dollar. Don't do that, Robbie. I'll take that dollar in person when I see you next.
You're getting the dirty dollar that Layla gave me.
You know what? I appreciate that because that's the dirty dollar I'm going to give her whenever the White Sox decide they do want to get over 46.5 wins.
Made money is clean money, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair as well.
We wanted to also tease this, but now we're here because of technology. So we got advanced copies of the Seth Wickersham book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, the famous book that detailed not only Caleb Williams and his dad, Carl, talking about whether or not he wanted to be a Bear, but it also goes into the vignettes and backgrounds of other quarterbacks that came on long before him, like John Elway, Peyton Manning, his dad, and this is also referred to a lot, Archie Manning. Warren Moon's story is reflected in this book. There's a lot to digest. We only got it a few days ago, so between trying to prepare for our shows and also do the right thing with acknowledging the current Bears, we wanted to sit down with this, and plain reading was a part of this for me. The way the stories are told is in a series of vignettes by Wickersham. He goes into not just recollections of stories that others had, but also then puts them next to current storylines that you are seeing take place in real time. So the storytelling is some in the past, and then it's some scene change to what is going on in real time with people. That includes Carl Williams and Caleb Williams, who, according to reports, they did both make sure that there was an integrity check with the author, Seth Wickersham, and that it was being portrayed in a proper and integrity-filled light.
No, I think the process, and you know, we talked to Seth Wickersham when we first learned this book was coming out because of the ESPN article, which highlighted some of the things that Caleb Williams was going through as a Chicago Bear. I like the process there. The vignette format of the book was interesting. It reminded me of watching movies like Valentine's Day, Crazy Stupid Love, Love Actually, where you have different things happening with different characters and somehow they kind of connect in many ways. And that's what you see with the quarterback because, let's be honest, quarterbacks is within the fraternity of football, its own fraternity. And so to see what certain quarterbacks, former like John Elway and what Jack Elway did and Peyton Manning. And obviously you start talking about Peyton Manning, then it's Archie Manning and then it's Arch Manning and it's Cooper Manning. And there's a lot of Manning in there.
Eli,
of course. And so understanding all of that and even Caleb Williams and kind of the cross-referencing of people he came into contact with on the way to really what his stated goal was as a child, which was to be the best quarterback of all time.
And I think that there's a part of this that Wickersham tried to illustrate, but perhaps because of the storytelling style with juxtaposition doing a lot of work here, because the contrast of the stories did, I think, a lot of the painting of the actual positions people were in. Like, for example, we all know that the Mannings are made men, not just in football, but in American society. We know that John Elway rose to the top, not only defying process, but then also being part of ownership and larger groups of the Denver Broncos, more important parts of the team. You know, that was the goal. Roger Staubach is referenced in this because after he was the Cowboys quarterback, he proceeded to run a commercial real estate business that became a true empire. So that part of it was illustrated, I think, really well. But the other side of it is the Carl Williams and Caleb Williams arcs and illustrations of what they were going through, where at times I feel like they were unfairly portrayed in perhaps the motivation. And at times I thought perhaps almost painted in a way of delusion when it came to the drive. But that's because, as a lot of us know, when you're not the guy who looks like Peyton Manning, or you're not the quarterback who looks like, per se, Eli Manning, or in this case, John Elway, that you have to work twice as hard. You have to be twice as good. And it was quoted in here at times, the contrast of being a black quarterback, and that was illustrated in some of what the discussion was between Carl and Caleb and what the quotes were. You know, be good at all the things that your, quote, traditional quarterback is good at, but then also be athletic and be able to be good at essentially every role they need you to be.
And Warren Moon is one of the quarterbacks who's featured also, that there's plenty of vignettes about him in this as well. So it was interesting how that was weaved into the conversation. And I think going, if you're a Bears fan, why this book should be important to you is to understand, first of all, how you're perceived. And I've been arguing about this. One of the things that stood out, right? The nuclear option. I felt like we got a very defined definition about what the nuclear option was. It was this simple. It was, we're going to force a trade no matter what. That's what the nuclear option was, according to Carl and Caleb Williams and their planning. Carl was ready to do it, to say, if you draft us, we're not going. You're going to have to trade us. And Ryan Poles ultimately saying, we're drafting you anyway. That's the way it's going to be. And Caleb saying, I'm good with it. I'll make it work.
Now, John Greenberg again, and I think this is worth mentioning a few times, said that there was a fact-checking session with Caleb and Carl in January. And that meant that, I think, and therefore, they were going to make sure that what was said about them in the book was indeed correct. This is an embedded author. They let him into their process. And I think that's very important to note in all of this, because when what came out about the book initially, it sounded like people were reacting to investigative gotcha-style journalism, akin to what we saw Jesse Rogers report about Kyle Tucker previously. But that's not what this was. This was an invited presence, so much so that you learn about what Carl Williams and Caleb did when he was in fifth grade. When he decided at that point, when Caleb said he wanted to do this, that running back wasn't going to be his fate, that it became clean food, you know, no more fast food when you're in fifth grade, what he had to do, what Caleb agreed to do with his dad to try to make this work. One of the quotes in here says, word about Carl Williams had started to spread in NFL circles, that he was a combination of Marv Marinovich, the poster boy for out-of-control quarterback dads, that he was Jack Elway or Archie Manning, only with a less talented son. And that right there tells me why he felt the need to work so hard. So once you read this book in September, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, that perception is there no matter what you do out of the gate.
Strong, strong comparison that I got while reading this was remembering the interview, I don't know if you remember this, Layla, that Venus Williams did at a young age, mm-hmm. where Richard Williams, her father, her tennis coach, had to stop the interview because she had answered a question. And the interviewer was basically like, well, why do you think you can do this? He's like, she already answered you, bro. Like, why are you trying to get an answer out of a child to suit what narrative you're trying to create? You're not going to sit here and berate my child when I've given her a certain level of confidence. And we all know what happened with Venus Williams and her younger sister, Serena. And that would not have been possible without a certain installation of self-confidence and self-worth that a lot of athletes don't have because their parents are the ones turning them over to coaches as opposed to keeping them on the straight and narrow themselves. And that's what I feel like Carl Williams was doing with Caleb Williams. The one story that illustrates that the best is when Carl Williams in this book goes to wake up Caleb Williams for an early morning workout. And Caleb Williams is like, and Carl.
Like 4 a.m., right?
Yes.
Not your time of 5 a.m.
No,
was even earlier than that.
And Carl Williams said he thought, that Caleb thought he was going to, you know, rip the sheets off the bed and say, get up, it's time to go. He didn't do that. He just turned around, started walking out the room, and that was motivation enough for Caleb to be like, I guess it is me. I'm going to have to motivate myself to get up out of this bed and do the work that has to be done to reach this goal of being the best quarterback of all time.
But the reason I don't blame parents like Serena and Venus's dad, like Carl Williams, for example, and also like LeVar Ball, is because they know what has happened to them and people they know, and they knew that nobody, in the words of Notre Dame, nobody was going to outwork us today. And so that's what you see. And I think the difference is, yeah, that's a quote in this book about the word about Carl Williams, but Caleb was a willing participant in this. He told his dad he needed more. He told his dad he wanted to keep pushing himself. And I think Carl is right when it comes to the CBA and how it forces quarterbacks to play in certain ways, and how the new CBA is particularly stringent and without loopholes, as we've seen, when it comes to player freedom and what was going to go on. I don't think he's wrong in that at all. But when you read this book, there are also points here that were made, similar to the articles that have come out, about how there was very much a purposeful process to not play in Chicago. Like, you need to understand that part of it, too. And I think it's, when I was reading it, I kept thinking to myself, is this because you would feel like all the work that you did would go down the drain because of timing of who had the first overall pick?
Your life's work at this point. We're talking about American Kings, a biography of the quarterback by author Seth Wickersham of ESPN. He's the ESPN senior writer, and it's a phenomenal job of taking years of work here and putting it together for this book, which I think is a revealing look behind the scenes at the quarterback position. And I want to give the framing that Seth Wickersham, in the beginning of this book, talks about how he wanted to be a quarterback and how his quarterback dream ended when his junior year, he was not going to be the backup quarterback on varsity. Instead, they said, you know, you guys over here on varsity, you guys on JV, they read his name, they pointed to the JV side, he becomes a receiver. That's the end of his story as a quarterback. But he has this certain, just the way he levitates the quarterback position above all other things in sports and what that means, not only on the field, but in life, to be a quarterback, whether it's in high school, college, the NFL. And that's the framing through which this story is told.
Well, yeah, I mean, you even see it in the title, American Kings. Typically, there's only one, you know that, per country? But I think that that was a clever way of putting it and also very correct to what you're seeing. Some of the other highlights in this that I think are important was that a lot of people had the visual of Caleb Williams crying on the sideline at USC. Well, here it says, Trivers knew that cry, Trivers being his previous coach in high school. Caleb always cried. Cried after wins, definitely after losses. That changes the discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Trivers is the guy, Randy Trivers, the head coach at Gonzaga College High School at the time, was the one who started Caleb Williams as a freshman in high school when he knew he was going to get a lot of the blame if things did not go well. And until he completed a big Hail Mary in the city championship game, things weren't necessarily going well for Caleb Williams.
Now, there's a lot of other parts of this, too, that I think are very interesting. We're just touching on the Caleb Williams parts. This is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Our segment, by the way, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And as we continue to examine this book, for example, there's a lot in here about Tom Brady and Giselle and the dissolution of their relationship. And I think that that is a part of this, too, because it's set against the backdrop of also what Caleb Williams wants to do. So that kind of opens up the discussion here. There's a part where there's a conversation that's quoted between Brady and Giselle, and she says, what more do you have to prove? And then, you know, Super Bowl number 7 occurs, and then Caleb says to Carl, I want 8. Your quarterback says to his dad he wants 8 Super Bowls.
He sent him a text saying, I want 8, and Carl at first didn't even know what he was talking about. I was like, what? And then it sunk in. Oh, wait, Brady just won number 7. He's talking about 8 Super Bowls. So I understand that part. One of the interesting things about the way this all happened is the people he meets along the way, because he does play in Hollywood at USC.
Right.
And he has this dinner with Denzel Washington at Steak 48, and he shows up in sweatpants and realizes, I'm not dressed like everybody else is dressed here, starts furiously texting his dad, do I need to go home and change what's going on? And he's at the hostess stand, and Denzel calls him back to the private room, comes to get him. And I think having a conversation with Denzel Washington and the end result of that being that Denzel tells him, you're going to have to set your own sail, and that basically you're going to be alone on this journey. I think that did a lot of work in how Caleb looks at not only what he's gone through to get here, right, but also what he's going to have to do to go forward.
That part of it, I think, is really well communicated in this book. The exclusivity and understanding that, yes, Caleb Williams hangs out with Denzel Washington at Steak 48 in L.A., like, that's, if that doesn't put it into context. And that was really what Wickersham was trying to do. And I think a big part of this, too, also, is that my takeaway from that is that after seeing what he did on First Take, calling out the Cowboys.
Hilarious.
And then talking to Caleb. I need more Denzel Washington on football. I need it immediately.
On sports.
Just... I need him to talk more about sports all the time.
And I guess technically we are a version of talking heads to him, but like I get it. I get everything he's saying in terms of his criticisms and everything else. But I'm glad that you're getting more background on Caleb. And that's why I think Bears fans should read this book to understand the quarterback position maybe a little bit better and the variance of that position depending on who you are.
Well, and I did come away from it a lot of times thinking to myself, they're correct. Like Carl is correct. This CBA is incredibly limiting for the players who actually make the NFL run. And he's even more vindicated, I think, when you consider the mess that has happened with the Players Association. You know, we've talked about it with Mike Florio quite a bit. I feel like he was spot on. And when that first article came out, when he's talking about tape, and that was confirmed, by the way, that was confirmed that that was a concern of Caleb's. In the fact-checking sessions, that was part of it. I feel like he was a father trying to protect his son. The problem is he's also the agent responsible for Team Caleb. But again, that is a father trying to protect his son from getting eaten up by a machine that is built on people who are not like him.
The thing I took away with it specifically with Carl.
I can share you guys on Twitch all my bookmarks here. So you can see that. You can see all the bookmarks I have on here.
She's duly noted. I put all my notes into a document electronically so I can.
A lot more organized. But
well, I don't know if it's a lot more organized.
It's easier just, for me to flip.
It's organized in a different way. And I have like the page number for all my references and everything else. So I'll tell you, when you get to this book, you might want to go to page 335 because that's where it starts with this quote.
Flipping now.
We're drafting you no matter what, end quote. Bears general manager Ryan Poles told Caleb Williams. Now, see, here's why, and you get more context in this book, why that did not go over well with Carl Williams. Once you understand what the process was for Caleb deciding where he was going to play quarterback in college, and the fact that they understood that whoever I go play for quarterback in college, it's with one goal in mind. That goal is to be the number one drafted quarterback when I'm done playing in college. And to get some glory along the way, a.k.a. a Heisman Trophy. We're talking about Caleb Williams here on Raheem and Harris as we're broadcasting live from the Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino, part of Football Contest Weekend. I hope you will join us tomorrow, by the way. We're going to be outside, cabana style, right? Stadium swim. I've never been. Layla talks beautifully about it, so I can't wait to get out there.
Going out there after the show.
Which will be 100-plus degree heat. But Carl Williams... The reason that they went with Lincoln Riley in college is because he had Baker Mayfield as a quarterback prior. He had other guys who had shown that they could be top of the line in college and have successful NFL careers. So to go through all these processes where you had picked a specific high school, you had picked a specific college, you had picked specific coaches to work with, who to avoid on the quarterback manufacturing circuit, over $80,000 spent in high school in trying to get your guy to be the best quarterback, a guy who was starting as a freshman at 5'9", a runt of a quarterback, but got the job done. And now all of a sudden you're told you're going to go play for a defensive-minded coach in Matt Eberflus, and nothing that Shane Waldron is doing is impressing you?
And that was part of it, too. Do I want to go there? Williams told his confidants. I don't think I can do it with Waldron. Narrator. Well, he couldn't because nobody could. Carl had made it known to the Bears through third parties that he hated the hiring of Waldron, a Phillips Academy graduate who had briefly served as tight ends coach for both the Patriots during their dynastic reign and for the Los Angeles Rams. Waldron had a good reputation around the league, but Carl wanted the Bears to hire someone who was the brains behind the league's most dynamic offenses. Who does that remind you of? Not someone who had learned how to carry over a playbook. Caleb was wary, too. He asked those close to him, what do you think about the Bears? What do you think? Not just what my dad think. Bad organizations are usually bad for a reason, most replied.
So when they went out and tried to get independent thoughts on the Bears as a place for a top quarterback to land, what you're left with is that last sentence in the vignette.
But here's my question. Who wouldn't do the same?
No one.
Even if just like we heard Kyle Tucker say to the media earlier today, he thinks that he can be the one to help the Cubs today. That's how they're wired. even if you think you can do a lot, he, Caleb Williams, is checking himself and saying, not as what my dad say, do you think I could do this? He was doing his part. And I think that that is the grace that he deserves to be given when it comes to all of the excerpts that we're seeing. Now, did he have every right to think that? Yes. Should he have addressed it, which he did? Yes. But are we going to talk about what's in here because it was fact-checked in good faith? Absolutely. More to come here from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom here in Las Vegas. We have the book, Sec Wickersham's American Kings, the biography of quarterbacks. Yes, Caleb Williams is in it a lot. He goes back all the way to Y.A. Tittle. So we will discuss some more about this coming up next. This is Raheem Ian Harris live from Las Vegas on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What does the combination of the news the last 2 days tell you about the vibe around the Bears locker room these days? First, we learned that Theo Benedict says the coaching staff promised an open competition at left tackle and have been true to their word. Next, they reward a popular, hardworking backup quarterback with the first extension at the position since Jay Cutler. What do you think things are like around the team? How do you think team morale is right now?
What this does is it sends not an underlying message, but a dominant theme throughout the locker room. Control your effort, dictate your future. And that's a great message for a new coaching staff and a new head coach to send. This is a breath of fresh air. You've got two guys who, I don't know that if they walk down the street, now maybe Tyson Bagent because of his personality and distinct look perhaps, but Theo Benedict and Tyson Bagent, what football factories did they come from? Oh, Canada and Shepherd College. Yes, these are guys who have been rewarded because of their effort and commitment to being just the equivalent of a gym rat. This is really good for team morale. This is a message that can benefit everyone from Montez Sweat to DJ Moore to Caleb Williams. You pay attention to details. You do your work. You keep your head down, and you will get rewarded. If this is a new Bear regime under Ben Johnson, besides of the things that you're liking what you see on the field, if this is what's going on behind the scenes, it's more things that you like.
I think it sends a fantastic message that if you come here, you work hard, you do what you're asked, you've got a shot. Because it shows that Ben Johnson is kind of really the guy, because these are all not his guys. And if he wants to set the tone that everybody's got a clean slate. And I think that's a great message for a team that really needed a hard reset after the failed Mary ruined their season last year.
I got to tell you, I think it's really good to take care of people. I think it's really good to keep your word. I think if you say something along the lines of, yeah, we're having an open competition and everyone involved is going to get a chance, and then actually follow through. You prefer, if someone took that job, you prefer that you see Braxton Jones, lose slow enough, mm-hmm. that he has that job to start the season because of the number of starts he has and because of the team they're playing in Minnesota. But this Theo Benedet, I mean, did anybody have him on their scorecard heading into the year? And there he is lining up at left tackle. That's bad, but it's also good. It means they're trying to unearth someone. They're looking everywhere, and if you have effort, you're going to make the team. If you have effort, you're going to get paid early. You're going to a guy who's got, you know, is in the final year of his rookie deal, and you give him $10 million, and he said he took a week to think it through. And he decided that he really liked the coaching staff and he really liked the vibe and what was going
Bajent,
on. That's what Bajent
he
said.
He wants to learn from Ben Johnson more than he wants to test the open market to see where he could be a starter.
That's extraordinary.
It is.
Because he feels like he's going to get better and develop into a better player by working with this guy for another couple of years. I think it's awesome. I think it's a really good message. And you know, for a quarterback, that's chump change. That's not tons of money. But, I mean, it's a joke, the Jay Cutler thing. Jay Cutler got paid. That was
a starting quarterback extension.
Yeah, a totally different deal. And if Caleb is not taking $10 million. But I think it's fantastic that they got that done, that they went to him. They recognize something about him. And I heard Ben Johnson say he thinks they have the best quarterback room in the NFL. How is that humanly possible? When do you we're sitting here watching people get starting jobs and teams make decisions and Daniel Jones, what are we going to do down in New Orleans? And the Bears, they have their starter, and they got their backup, and they got another guy.
And they've got their mentor
to teach
both of them what it means to be a professional.
That's right.
I like that he said that. I think it might be a little bit of exaggeration. You want your coach to be overly positive. I think we can have a conversation maybe later today or ongoing. Who has the best backup quarterback situation in the division?
That's a good question.
Because now the Bears feel like they do. And I think you have the stamp of Ben Johnson – and you wonder if that might be accurate. They might have the best backup quarterback situation in the division. As you ponder that.
I will think that through. I've got to think about...
We'll get back to it.
Yeah, I like the idea, do they have the best quarterback situation in the division? Because the division is changing at that position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting to kind of monitor.
Well, for that to be true, the starter would have to be at a level where I'm not sure he has reached yet.
I don't think he has, but he showed some promise.
Fascinating conversation.
We got John Heyman next. We're going to bring in John, and we'll talk about the Cubs and the Brewers, and we'll talk about what's going on in MLB. We'll do that with John Heyman next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Here with Carmen Vitale from Fox Sports.
I am joined now by Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports NFL reporter.
Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports.
Joining us, it is the NFC North writer at FoxSports.com. It's Carmen Vitale. How are you doing, Carmen? Great to have you.
Welcome to a special edition of the Chicago Football Show. I'm Scott Baer alongside Carmen Vitale.
What I saw when I was there, it was an across-the-board belief from players to coaches. And I have a few friends on that staff, too, that were like, we know we got this.
A lovely open for Carmen Vitale.
It brings a smile to my face every time.
I know, and it does Robbie ours. Hit the vibe perfectly with the song too. I love Moment for Life. It's a great song. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You heard her voice, Carmen Vitale. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And we get some news today when it comes to the Bears, Carmen. I know a big part of your focus right now, being at Halas Hall, you get to spend a little more time there. You were at Lions camp yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I think
That was just yesterday.
Yeah, I was surprised that you were back so quickly and in studio with us, but maybe that's where we start. You know, what were your takeaways from Lions camp?
This week two matchup in Detroit is going to be fun.
Oh, tell me more.
Oh, everyone I talked to, that was the first thing they said to me, was like, we're happy for Ben. We do not want him to do well. It was, we want to beat this guy so badly. It was actually mixed. A couple of the guys were like, we want him to do well just outside of two games a year. And then a couple other people were like, no, like, because that's going to affect the division and everything like that. They are already looking forward to that. And like, they're like, there's going to be some stuff.
It's great that she's saying this because Ben Johnson, when he talked to Kay Adams yesterday, was saying, except for those two games, I wish them all the best. But it sounds like that's not what the people in Detroit are saying.
There's mixed. Like I said, some guys said that to me. Other guys were like, no. So it was really funny to see that, you know, they're weary of him. And they've seen what he's been able to do in Chicago. And I think that that's a huge compliment. That's the best compliment that you could get.
Scared.
Well, I think also, I kind of pick up where the St. Brown Brothers podcast left off. Mm. Like when you heard that conversation that they had with Caleb Williams, they're funny and they were funny about it, but you could also tell that it mattered a lot to them that their beloved OC was no longer there.
Well, think about the culture that Ben Johnson is instilling in Chicago. Think about the culture that is in Detroit. The biggest thing is to compete. The biggest thing is the physicality, the aggressiveness. That is on 100. No matter who they're playing. Now you add extra incentive on top of this, the pride and the you know, one team let him go, not purposely, it was a promotion, of course they were going to let him go, but then now you have Ben Johnson wanting to prove that he can do this at the head coach level. And I am so excited, and especially because I've always said that Ben Johnson is just so petty in the best way. Like that's that, like parentheses compliment, petty compliment. And he does so many, like I buy every conspiracy theory when it comes to Ben about like how he thinks three steps ahead, how like we heard him talk to Kay, our good friend Kay, about how, yeah, it's the same playbook in the preseason. He's like, I'm not showing you anything. I'm not showing anybody anything. It's going to get a lot more fun once the regular season comes. But in preseason, like, I'm going to hold everything back and I'm going to make you think that this is what this offense is. And that's not at all what it is.
Carmen's got me hyped.
I saw your eyebrow raise. Carmen is a storyteller, man. She's got us hooked.
Layla, especially the part where she's, you know, not showing in the preseason. But remember when Kay Adams asked him about trick plays? Like, that's not for now. Trick plays are for later.
And it really shouldn't be.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you have a trick play in the preseason?
Or you're just, you know, this is why I'm in radio and not in football, but I would have been like, oh yeah, we're going to run the hook and ladder, and then later we're going to run the oop-de-oop. And then Mox and the crew is going to take the district title.
Not Mox.
I am, like I said,
R.I.P. Billy Bob.
Okay, this is where I'm going to have to bring people back down to earth.
Oh, do it.
Oh, no.
Do it. No, do it.
No,
Carmen hates the Bears.
No. It's not about the Bears. It's about the Lions. In that, I don't see them taking a significant step back here. I mean, I was there. I watched a practice. It was a scrimmage between Lions. So they've joined practice against the Texans later this week. But this was just against Lions, and it was a scrimmage practice. I saw their best players getting knocked around by their defense. Like they practice so physically. and they practice as if they are opponents between offense and defense. And I also was told that their offensive coordinator, John Morton, is even more of a tape guy than Ben Johnson is, which is very, I cannot stress to you how hard to do that is. Ben Johnson, when Detroit was at that facility every single night for like till like 11, 12 o'clock at night, every single day. That's the kind of guy he is. He's watching tape. He's you know, concocting. And John Morton is one of those guys that he's like that, and he's going to put his stamp on this offense too, and he has all of the firepower to do it. I saw the defense look, incredibly physical. Amon Ross St. Brown was getting knocked around in practice. Could not buy a catch.
Robbie Triano is just over
I'm
here.
I'm a Lions like, fan.
Clapping. So, yeah.
It's a slow clap.
I need a towel.
I need a towel.
You're having a day over here,
oh
Tree.
My God.
Your ego's writing checks your body can't catch.
Somebody put Tree in the corner.
Like,
you're top
just
gun over here.
And time out. And Amon Ross St. Brown got knocked around in that practice by his own defense. And he had a couple really good catches, I will say that. It's not that he couldn't buy a catch. But, like, those corners, those safeties, just bumping into him, knocking into him. And then you realize, like, it was really funny. I talked to a lot of people, too, about the Dolphins had come in, you know, right after they were here in Chicago. And it's very apparent that these two teams, the Lions and the Bears, practice the same way. And not every team practices like that.
I'm glad you brought that up because, number one, I think Marshall and I are both picturing somebody over a cauldron of dark magic.
Which is brew.
Concocting mm-hmm. plays, just, which yeah. I love. And then, number two, the Dolphins, the reports from the Dolphins writers.
I know.
And the Dolphins we reporters, when it came to what went on at camp, what got really, really dramatic and heated. Joe Shad was kind of like my guiding light because I've just followed his work for so long on ESPN and other outlets. Was it as bad? Were the reporters for the Miami Dolphins beat as appalled by practice in Detroit as they were here?
So it's my understanding that there were less of them up in Detroit. So a lot of them came to, like, a lot of the beat came to Chicago, and not as many continued on to Detroit. Because that's a long trip, and it's not really worth coming back and going back and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of guys weren't even there for Detroit. But it was very much the same thing. I think it was toned down a little bit because they'd already just experienced this with the Bears. And now if they cry wolf again, it's like, well,
you're soft.
Right. Like, there's a common denominator here. And it's not the Bears and the Lions being dirty teams. It's like, what's the odds that two teams are dirty? Or what are the odds that the one team that played both of them is a little bit, needs to be a little bit more physical? I won't call them soft.
We are talking with Carmen Vitale in studio for the whole hour here on Raheem and Harris. I will not be here for the whole hour, by the way.
Marshall has an appointment with his orthopedic doctor.
Yeah, because
I walk in and he's on crutches.
Yeah, but we're going to get off the crutches soon.
Okay.
It's a timeline, but Carmen is the Fox Sports NFL reporter covering the NFC North and the whole NFC, last I checked. Mm-hmm. Also the co-host of Marquee Sports Network's the Chicago Football Show podcast. Carmen.
Yeah.
So we're going into this game Friday, short turnaround for the Bears, and yet they're playing their starters mm-hmm. against Andy Reid's starters. I'm thrilled. Layla's thrilled. I think this is the perfect measuring stick to know what you need to figure out between now and the start of the regular season. This is a win-win for Ben Johnson, correct?
Oh, I think so, because this is another benchmark that you need to clear when you talk about the evaluation process. Ben Johnson talked about the joint practices being an evaluation period, and that's where they're going to know what they need to work on. You know, they did it again against the Bills, and now you go against Kansas City in the preseason, granted, but what the shortened preseason now has allowed you to do is there's 2 weeks before the regular season starts. So, you know, you play this week, and then you got two more weeks to rest up and whatever. You have that quote unquote bye week. So you can play your starters in the last preseason game. And you do then have like the crunch time of the 2 weeks to figure out what you need to figure out before the regular season. The Bears will even get an extra day on top of that because they play Monday night. But I love this as a litmus test to see. And again, they performed really well against the Bills, but the Bills did not play their starters. And that was kind of the asterisk on all of this. It's great still. But you do have to take that with a grain of salt. So now you get to go against, it'll still be preseason. Nobody will be playing for that long. I doubt everybody's going to be going 100%. But Ben Johnson is the same guy across the board. And you have to be. If you're going to say that you're this physical, you know, you want this organization to go through this culture change. You need to be that. You need to show up as the same guy every day. We saw that against the Bills when there was no letting off of the gas between the first and the second half, despite that, you know, no starters were playing. And it was like, you know, very, very bottom of the depth chart there. But that's the type of guy Ben Johnson is across the board. And you have to be if you're actually going to change a culture.
Oh, we talked about it. We had a good laugh about it. And so did Adam Studzinski, the Take the North podcast producer. The double safety blitz up over 30 points.
It's
in
incredible.
The quarter was,
I mean, that's
hilarious.
That's
back to
Dennis
back.
Allen, too. And that's what I don't. It was very subtle. But the way Ben Johnson talked to Kay about DA, he said it like, and Dennis Allen and his guys have their stuff ready to go. They are really physical. They want to be aggressive. He said it as like a they. And I think that's a really important demarcation because Ben Johnson is making a transition to a head coach. You have to do so many extra things as a head coach that you do not have to do as a coordinator. He knows enough to outsource the defense. He is not micromanaging the defense. And I said this when I was on with you guys last time. That can work. That does work. I saw it happen for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020, where Bruce Arians was the guy for the offense. He was the head coach. He was making those decisions. Todd Bowles was the defense. Bruce had nothing to do with that defense. Now, would he occasionally click over on the headset during a game and be like, I don't want them to gain another yard, like remember the Titan style? Yeah, he would. But it was always up to Todd to shape that defense. In that way, it sounds like, from the way that Ben Johnson talks about the defense, it is completely up to Dennis Allen to shape this defense. And I think that's the right call.
Yes, yeah, so it certainly appears that Dennis Allen is the head coach of the defense.
Correct.
And the whole thing is, if you're in a leadership position and you're doing the hiring and the firing, hire good people and know how to delegate, and it'll make your job as a leader a lot easier.
Well, and I also like the aspect, and we've talked about this a couple times, but that he let the second half of the Bulls or the Bills game be a teaching moment for his coaching staff.
Yes.
To have Declan Doyle call plays, for example, to have your quarterback's coach calling the defense. Those are the moments where you're cultivating and teaching. And I know that's something, especially with your background in Tampa, Carmen, that doesn't happen on every coaching staff. And a lot of good ones, it does.
A lot of good ones. I think that's the point of emphasis here is every coach that I've been around, like significantly, so a lot of those Tampa coaches, It's not a coincidence that Todd Bowles has created two head coaches out of his offensive coordinator, his last two offensive coordinators. He comes from a culture where that Bruce Arians set, where coaches are not just coaches, they're teachers. And they're not just teachers to players, they're teachers to other coaches. And so this creates a roster of coaches that can handle those moments. But it does take a guy to recognize that, be self-aware enough, and to delegate when those situations come up. And I think the best, like Bruce would always say this to me, to others, whatever, like coaches are just teachers. That's mm-hmm. all we are. We're glorified teachers. And that comes through in the way that they approach their roster with their players. No two players are coached the same way in those systems. No two coaches are coached the same way. You need to coach from the top down. So head coach goes down to the coordinators. It's this like very sophisticated game of telephone. And if you have good teachers along the way, then that creates a depth chart of coaches that can step up in situations and then move on to bigger jobs and get promotions. And that's what you want to see. But it's so incredibly important on those. And you see it on those good staffs. The staffs that kind of fail, I think, are the ones where the head coach feels that he needs to be responsible for everything and he needs to micromanage and he takes over things that maybe aren't his. Nobody's an expert at every single thing in football. It's too nuanced. But some of those, I understand, like if your job's on the line, you want to have control over everything. But I don't see that on the good staffs. I see that on the ones that fail.
I think before I have to get out of here, what I do want to know about is because you've seen all these teams in the NFC North specifically. The way this is going to shake out, people have the Bears at the bottom of the pile, and people who don't have the Bears at the bottom pile have the Packers at the bottom of the pile. Mm-hmm. Is there any scenario in which you can see it not ending up with one of those two teams being at the bottom of this 4-team pile?
Sure. Of course I can. I mean, I got on here last time, too, and said, like, any of these teams is capable of winning this division. Any of these teams is capable of losing it, too. And I think it's going to really hinge on defense, though. I have a tremendous amount of respect for all of these coaching staffs, all of these rosters, really, when you look top to bottom at all four of these teams. The talent is outrageous, and that's why this is the best division in football. But I really do see, you know, if you get hit by the injury bug again in Detroit, if you get hit by the injury bug even in Minnesota, or if JJ McCarthy isn't what we think he is, although I really don't see that happening, I think that there are some crucial injuries that could happen on these teams that could severely affect. I mean, look at what the Packers had dealt with last year. Jordan Love, you know, injured his groin, and that was a huge thing about why they struggled, quote unquote. I know they made the playoffs still, but why they didn't reach their goals was because their quarterback was in and out of the lineup at the same time that some of their receivers were in and out of the lineup. So there wasn't continuity there. And when you're talking about this division in particular, the margin for error is so small, which is why I think it's completely up for grabs. And because they all have a really tough schedule, I don't see this being a division. Like last year, I said it was going to take 14 or 15 wins to win this division. This year, I don't think that's the case. I think it's 11 or 12, which is why I think anybody can win it, because I think any of these teams is capable of 11 or 12 wins.
That is Carmen Vitale. We're going to have more with her coming up. She's here for the hour. We love talking ball with her. She is the NFL reporter for Fox Sports. She's been hanging out in Detroit. She's been hanging out here. We got a lot to discuss with her. Marshall, you going to be okay?
Yeah, can't wait to hang out with you in Vegas.
Yeah, next time I see you, it will be at Circa. Get right. Tell your orthopedic doctor you say hi. I might have to see that doc later. Marshall, I hope you get better. We have more with Carmen Vitale. I know we're awaiting Mark Grody, too. Guys, what's the latest? Is Grody available or no? Is he still working?
Mark Grody will join us as soon as Bears practice concludes, so we are awaiting that.
All right. Well, we have a fun time here set for you on the Mark Grody pregame show with Carmen Vitale next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.